Top of the morning, we hit the bottom of the hour, and time now for school talk. My guest this morning, delighted to have him back on the show, Superintendent of School District Number 2, Craig Barringer. Craig, good morning to you. Good to see you.
Good morning.
You look healthy and well.
Hey, we are 6 weeks away from completing the school year, so.
You've got to be excited.
Yes.
Huh?
Well, I'm excited, but there's a lot of people in our buildings that are a lot more excited than me. So,
are they?
Yeah. Especially with the nice weather we had last week. The spring fever is kicking in.
It is. Give us a recap of the year. How has the year gone?
Well, you know, when I got here in July, they'd already started their plan for reopening. And our discussions were every day surrounding what ifs and what might happen. And we, at one point, were talking about, you know, what happens if we can't go back to school around from, you know, Thanksgiving break to Christmas time, because a lot of the colleges were going to go remote at that time. And so we were planning for the worst, but to the credit of our community, our kids, our teachers, our staff, we got through there. It's a bumpy road, and you know, the only day we've missed the school is
the wind day.
So we have trudged through, and you know, now that kids have had activities, you know, we have another play starting tonight, going through Monday, and so we've tried to keep things. Our goal is to keep things as close to normal as possible, and I think a credit to our staff, they've done a good job.
A year ago, you weren't here, but I don't think it was any different in Libby, Montana, than it was here. And even though sometimes I think it seems like progress has been slow, a year ago, it was crazy.
Yeah.
There was nobody in school.
No. It was weird. And at that point, that's when I started being wrong a lot more than I'm right, because I was one of those guys that says, we'll be back in seats in 2 weeks. And it didn't happen, because it was such an interesting time. And I'm going to meet with our seniors in about an hour and kind of talk to them, you know, visit with them and say, hey, what's gone well? What do we need to improve? But I'm also going to talk about they are graduating in probably the most interesting time in generations. So looking back, what I see Wyoming has done so well is there's a sense of resilience that we've created, and we're going to send kids out in the world one step ahead of most of their peers, because they've been in school all year long. I know schools, I talk to people who aren't back in school yet.
And the experts are saying it'll take 3 and 4 and 5 years to catch up. Do you think so?
I believe so. Yeah, I think what we've seen on our scores is we've made up that loss and then advanced some, but not being in school and doing it remotely, unfortunately, put a lot of pressure on parents. You put a lot of pressure on
teenagers. CBS News Special Report.
You put a lot of pressure on teenagers who, you know, without a little guidance, sometimes often will take the path of least resistance.
Okay, things have gone well. But are we behind where we would have been if things had been normal?
I would say we're on pretty good pace.
I hope so.
So with what we see, where our kids are at academically, we are on pace. Social, emotionally, that's something we're going to really have to deal with work through next year, because you know, our kids are inundated with bad news, and there's a lot of stress that has come with this pandemic. You know, they hear about it every day. There's, you know, certain fears. And
I hear some concern in your voice.
There is definitely concern. I think academically we'll be fine. And I think socially, emotionally, our kids are resilient. But I do think we need to look at what we can do to, you know, help them through this time and actually help them through life. Because we live in an interesting time. I listen to the radio every day, and there's
unprecedented is the word they use, and it's overused, but none of us alive have ever been through this.
Yeah. So we need to make sure our kids are resilient, can work their way through this, and work their way through some of the hurdles that the unknown hurdles that they may face. So.
Can you imagine coming back in 10, 20 years for a class reunion with this class and they're going to hand out masks?
Yes. Oh, man. Hopefully they're going to burn them. That would keep those masks for that they graduate with and bring them back for their 10-year class reunion.
I have a big bonfire.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you had to cancel anything this year? Have you had to cancel events, cancel class, cancel? You haven't canceled a school, but have you had to cancel anything?
You know, we did back in October. We had to cancel a couple of athletic events that were, but they were able to compete at state and divisionals and regionals. But other than that, we've gone through. I mean, I went to the state wrestling tournament, and I sat there and I go, if we can have a state wrestling tournament, there's a lot of things we can do, because that is a activity that. But they tested the kids. They did all those protocols leading into it, and you know there was no surge after that. So we have not had to cancel anything significant.
I think people had to be on the bubble at that thing. I mean, day one, if you get somebody positive, you get the whole place in trouble.
Yeah. So they did a good. I think the Wyoming High School Athletic Association has set us up for good success through this. And you know, we had a track meet here the other day, and a big one. And kids were happy to compete. I mean, just happy. And so that is good to see.
What are your plans for what's left of this year?
You know, we don't plan on making any significant changes. We hope to just get through this year. Our goal is to get through. May 21st is our last day of school, and we want to get there on time with everybody in the building and no major hiccups. You know, our seniors, they have 5.5 weeks left. So
there are traditional events in the spring. Now, you already mentioned one. That is the spring musical. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, it opens tonight, runs through Monday night. That seems like one of those unlikely events, but they're getting it done, and I understand they're going to live stream it if you don't want to attend, which is, who would have thought?
Yeah, there's been some good things through this. We have come across some pretty good, make adjustments and accommodations, and so we've come up with some pretty good things, and being able to watch it from your home, if you're a grandparent and you live 500 miles away and can't see your grandchild, you can log in and watch it. And so that's been one of the good things. And just to see kids up on the stage. We had a play this fall. It was great to watch. And now, you know, with some of the restrictions lifted, we can have more people in the auditorium. But you still can watch it from the comforts of your home. So,
other spring traditional events, prom.
Not this Saturday, but the next Saturday. And so they've got it planned, and the staff, our student council, have done a great job of planning for that event. And there was another one in August that was not even a consideration. And now, you know, we're going to have a prom, and it's going to be great.
Graduation.
The plan is to have it outside at the football at the Wolf Stadium. And so we can accommodate more people, and let's hope we have weather like we did this last weekend and not the roller coaster this week.
Exactly. So, what about plans for the fall?
You know, I am hope. Here's one of the, I've been wrong a lot on this COVID stuff, but
Who hasn't?
Yeah. So the way things are going, and with, you know, everybody right now in our staff has had the opportunity to get the vaccinations if they wanted. Kids seem to be, you know, less impacted by this. I am hoping that we can go back to school in August normal, just like
mask free
for the kids. There may be some changes. You know, we maybe not be able to allow hundreds of adults in our elementary building before school, after school. We may have to continue the drop-offs outside, you know, those kind of things. But we're in a pretty good place. We've had a little uptick of quarantines from a couple weeks ago, but nothing significant.
Nothing to raise some huge concerns?
No, nothing like, you know, after Thanksgiving, we had some, we were a little leery, but nothing like that.
One question that doesn't involve COVID, and speaking of next fall, time to get kids registered for kindergarten. There's been some changes there. I call these kids the gap kids, the kindergarten eligible kids born between August 1st and September 15th. Makes up about 10% of the class. Mm-hmm. On the surface, this whole thing seems complicated. Is it? And if it's not, can you simplify it?
Well, I hope I can simplify it, but you know, we have our board policy allows us, with exceptions, to accept those kids in that range. So we would go through the testing procedures, and if they meet the criteria that we have set out, we could enroll them in our program. Here's what I've learned over the years is our best impact on graduation starts at our earliest ages. So if we can get these kids in at an early age, and if they're behind, help them catch up with their peers, because that trajectory, you know, if they come in behind after first, second grade, they will likely be behind for the next 12 years because everybody's increasing.
Okay, so before we talk about the actually how they do it, what is the new rule concerning when you can start going to
school? They moved the date to September
15th,
and it was August. But they do have that exception that you can take kids in that range. There was a bill to disallow that exception, and to my knowledge, that's went away. That never was passed. And so we can take kids in there, and we'll call it exceptional circumstances. And so they would be able to come in into our Junior K program, likely.
And they being which they?
Those kids that fall between August and September 15th. Okay. And so we plan to get those kids into the program if they're qualified. And you would find that most of them will qualify under something.
All right. Anything else tricky about how to get registered for kindergarten?
No. I mean, we have our kindergarten roundup the 14th. I would encourage people to sign up, get them tested. And a lot of parents that are unsure, take them anyway, and then you can decide. It gives you options on what you can do.
Testing, I understand, is required by the state.
Yes. Yep. And it's good. It's good to know what we can do when that kid walks through the doors in August to help them get to where they need to be.
What can you tell first-time parents, this is their first one to head to school, because this idea of having my kid tested sometimes doesn't sit well with me?
It really is a easy, it is a test, so we just find out where they're at, you know, for their age, academically, socially, emotionally. It really gives them a step ahead when they come through the doors in August. And it's good if you're a first-time parent, it's always good to know, okay, where does my kid sit in relation to the expectations of a five-year-old? And that's really what it is. If you've had kids go through, you kind of get an idea. But if it's your first one, it can be a little, you can be nervous. I mean, I get it. I've had a kid that ate the raisins that she's supposed to be counting. So, so she wasn't ready for school, but she was ready to eat. So anyway, but that first time can be nerve wracking. And call the school, call our office. We will do, you know, any questions. And sometimes you go, oh, that may be a stupid question, but if you don't know the answer to it, it's not a stupid question. And so we will help them out.
Looking way down the line, which we haven't had a chance to do, you and I in conversation, Craig, I mean, it seems to me that from the time you got here, even before you got here, planning has been consumed by what are we going to do next month? What's it going to look like in 2 months? What's it going to look like 3 months? Mm-hmm. Which isn't really qualified as long-term planning.
No.
Have you been able to think in terms of long-term, and what does that look like?
You know, we're starting to get to that point. our conversations still revolve around what do we need to do to get to the finish line and this year, and we're starting to plan for next year. It's hard to put realistic long-term goals out there when, you know, there's so much uncertainty. But we're at that point where we think we can plan ahead for the upcoming years. You know, the legislative session ends today, so we're still kind of waiting to see what the funding will look like. We know we have, you know, a $1.1 million deficit at least just because of students that won't be in our buildings. So those are all things that we're planning ahead for. Long-term plans, this district has done a good job, but when you look at the infrastructure of the long-term planning and you walk through the buildings, they have done an outstanding job in the past in making sure our buildings are kid-friendly, kid-ready. So that part of it, you know, we're doing some of the academic things. We'll really spend next year hopefully getting back into that. This year, we didn't spend a lot of time, you know, looking at what math will look like 2 years from now, because we really, our focus was to get to May 21st. Next year, we'll look at what our math program should look like, you know, where we need to make improvements in other areas.
Have you had a superintendent time to do any kind of district assessment? Do the future years look like brick and mortar years, or do they look like curriculum years, or do they look like, what do they look like?
So we had a on-site accreditation group come in last week, and they did an evaluation of our district. And so they met with us over 2 days, met with teachers and staff, and they will give us a report back, and they'll tell us what we do well and where we're a quart low, what we need, what they see us as needing to make improvements on. But I can tell you, every day I get a little more in tune with what's going on in the district, and we do some wonderful things, and we have some great people, but there's always places that we can do a little better. And so, you know, our facilities are wonderful. Our teachers do a good job. We need to do what's our next step. And what I see our next step is we need to, you know, do some social emotional training for our staff, for our students. What can we do to help our students become more resilient? How can we make them, you know, work through some of the challenges in their life?
All right. Well, it's maybe a few weeks early yet to break out the balloons, but congratulations. I think it's been a marvelous run so far, even to make it to this point, the school in session.
From the top of our board to the maintenance personnel, our cooks, it's been quite a thing to watch. I mean, it is interesting because I think this district has a great reputation outside of Green River, but they also have a good vision and good work ethics, and so it has made this year go much smoother than I think most anticipated. I think it shows the character of our district.
I'm just saying, congratulations. I mean, I hope I'm not doing it too early.
No.
Congratulations.
No.
I mean, it's just been a phenomenal, and I think people need to really put that in perspective. I have some grandkids that live in Texas. They haven't been in school all year. And I've got real concerns for them. Mm-hmm. I've got grandkids here, and I'm going, wow. This was really a bonus.
So if you're a kid, you need to experience failure. You need to experience some. All those things are perfect for in-school settings, because they will. There's somebody there to help you. I mean, when you trip and fall in the playground, somebody's going to help you up. If things aren't going well, there's somebody there to help you through that day. And when you're stuck on a computer and at home, and you're not getting to experience, okay, the little feelings. You're not building yourself to experience the big feelings. My biggest fear of remote learning is they never get to experience the little feelings.
It's a lot of inside stuff.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's the intangibles that make school.
Well, I mean, as a person, if you don't have a person across the desk, you can just voice your concerns to yourself.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Yeah.
I get tired of talking to myself.
Well, I do that a lot. I guess I should probably.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great run. We look forward to having a huge hurrah at the end of the year.
Oh, man, 6 weeks, but nobody's counting.
Craig, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Craig Berenger, my guest this morning on today's edition of School Talk. And, yeah, what a wonderful, wonderful run it's been.